Welcome to the Pop Culture Show with Barnes, Leslie, and Cubby. I happen to be a multiple Oscar winner. And you might be wondering to yourself, why would he be doing announcements for this stupid podcast? All I can say is sit back and enjoy the show.
You know who that is, Leslie?
Yeah, that's like a famous actor. How'd you get him to do that?
What's his name?
I know, I'm spacing on his name. I'm sorry.
Morgan Freeman?
It's Morgan Freeman, yes.
Actually, it's not Morgan Freeman. That's our guest today. His name is Larry Davis.
No way.
Yeah. You don't know Larry Davis, but you know Larry Davis.
I was getting ready to say, how did you pull strings and get Morgan Freeman to do a little ad for our show?
Larry is one of the top voiceover guys in the business, and I guarantee you, you have heard him on something. He is the voice of everything. I grabbed a couple of clips just to kind of show you the range of this guy and the type of things that he does. Like, here's a commercial he did.
Smash me. Dear God, smash me into a million pieces, Little Miss Puffytail thinks every time someone enters this room. For while the people who come in here can use Quilted Northern.
So he does toilet paper, but then here, let's go to a totally different direction for ABC.
Tonight on 2020.
Oh my God.
The Gathering Storm.
Wow, this is huge.
Shattering the peace of a rural community.
What the heck is going on?
I mean, that's the same guy.
He has quite the range. I mean, and he does a lot of celebrity impersonations. He'll be a lot of fun.
He'll be fun. Here's a couple more.
Season of unimaginable turns and twists of fate.
Baseball, MLB playoffs. I mean, the guy.
He does really great dramatic reads. You know, those, remember the movie openings, the movie trailers we used to talk about?
Yeah.
In a world.
Don LaFontaine, who we had on the Morning X years ago.
Exactly.
Anyway, so Larry Davis is coming up. Please rate, review, and subscribe The Pop Culture Show. You can get us pretty much anywhere you can get your podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Google, whatever and wherever, or just simply go to thepopcultureshow.com. This month, you saw a teaser this week. We have a four-night stay to give away at Cap Maison in St. Lucia. This place
unbelievable.
Is insanely gorgeous. And we're going to talk to the GM here in just a couple of minutes, and we'll get this launched and let you know how you can win. How was your week, guys?
Well, I guess the reason I didn't see your text, Barnes, is because I've been so busy taking COVID tests all week.
Poor baby.
You really are still doing that, huh?
Still doing COVID tests because we're in the middle of producing the CMT Music Awards. So I'm in my fourth test almost every 3 to 4 days.
Negative?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, unlike the president.
Well, that was crazy, right?
Fauci says we're going to get behind this and it's going to be in the rearview mirror at some point. He said 2022, he felt like it would be just like it never happened. You know how you have that feeling? Like, because we're in it right now, it's so brutal. But that maybe soon we'll be in that position.
You know, I haven't yet to get a test, and I don't really need to because I kind of don't go anywhere. But I feel like I'm the only one that hasn't had a test now because you guys have had multiple tests.
You could get one for the heck of it, right?
Just for the heck of it, man. When are the CMT Awards, by the way?
October 21st.
I feel like you've been working on this forever.
Yeah, it feels like that, but pretty soon we'll be finished. But it's exciting. It's just very different trying to produce a show in a COVID environment. But all the artists, you know, band members, everybody has to get multiple tests.
It's crazy.
You know, one thing you never do, if you know your buddy is a football fan or a baseball fan or whatever fan, you don't, well, there's a few things. You don't call them during their game and ask for a favor. Right? You don't, hey, I really, can I talk to you about, you know, check, you don't have a wedding on the day of a big sporting event if you have a lot of friends that like the team. Look at Cubby smiling.
So what are you trying to say?
Cubby knows
Leslie.
Cubby knows where this is going.
Where is this going?
So you don't do a lot of these things. Like, if your team is winning big, sure, you can call your person from the same team in the same tribe and be like, dude, we're killing it. What you don't do is 5 to 10 seconds before or after said person's team is losing, you don't antagonize them. Like, it's almost like doing it times 20.
That's not nice.
No. As my team was losing, just really close to losing, and we fumbled on the 1 yard line with about 2 minutes left, I get this text from Cubby, which is a horn frog being put on Lee Corso's head, which was the team.
Rubbing it in.
That was the team that
TCU beat UT.
That was TCU beating us. It's the timing of that that can have repercussions, and all I can say is, you'll get yours.
Listen, the only Cubby. Reason I did it to you,
nice
of all
guy,
people,
Cubby did this?
Yeah. Because Barnes is the kind of guy that would do it to me. In fact, Never. You did it a little bit last week with me.
What?
You were questioning my decisions in the pool.
Not your team. You were like, not your team.
No, they're not my team, but last week you said I wouldn't have picked against Iowa State's quarterback. He's mad after last week's loss. And you were like questioning my picks.
That's not your team.
It's not. You're right. That's a fair point. They're not my team. I don't care either way.
You can question my team, but how pissed are you when Virginia Tech is losing? And if I were to drop a little nugget on you right as the clock is ticking off, you'd be so pissed.
I would respond the same way you did. All Steve wrote back, Leslie, was, ha, H-A. I knew it was a pissed ha.
I was like, okay, I'm not going to say anything right now. I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it.
Do you realize that that's why Lanny and I eloped several years ago, 26 years ago, is because
Alabama?
People were telling me, don't have your wedding on this day. Yeah. It's the Auburn-Alabama game.
Don't do it.
Don't do your wedding on this day. And I was like, what?
Don't do it.
Yeah. Well, I'll admit, I did go against the guy code. I shouldn't have done that.
Completely.
But for some reason, Leslie, you know how some things, with Barnes, you feel like you break the rules more often. I just feel like I do things I don't normally do, only with Steve. I don't know what it is. Uh-huh.
Barnes has rules.
Hey, listen. Cubby, how old are you?
49.
I'm 53. Leslie, how old are you?
20-something.
Okay. I knew that answer was coming. I have a little present for you, Cubby. This is not really payback, but this is more a PSA. When you turn 50, you ever heard of shingles?
Ooh.
Yeah, I've heard of shingles. It's very painful, and I'm even thinking about getting the, the vaccination.
You mm-hmm. need to get it. When you're 50. So you...
Wait, where are you going here? Just because I sent you a fun text about your team losing, no, you're wishing shingles upon
me? has nothing to do... Like, I wish shingles upon you for that. Don't do it again. No, my point is, I got a shingles shot this week. Now, I don't even know what shingles are. And all I know is, like, when you go for your physical, and they're like, you need to get a shingles shot. I was like, well, okay, what's a shingles shot? And this is a public service announcement for at some point you will be this age, you will be 50 and you will need to do it. So I'm like, okay. And they don't really give you the full color commentary, which is what I'm doing to help you. Again, a PSA. You can go get it at your local grocery store. So I go into the grocery store and I said, hey, I need to get a shingle shot. And she goes, she looked at me and I was like, hey, I don't even know what shingles is. She goes, well, you don't want it. I said, okay, trust me, I don't want it. She's like, okay, fill this out. And I'm like thinking, it's just like a flu shot, I thought. Okay, no big deal. She goes, well, you need to get two doses. Did they tell you how much it is? And I'm like,
whoa.
No, how much is it? $180. It's like $180 times two.
Insurance doesn't cover it?
Check your local insurances. I don't know.
All right.
So at that point, I have to stroke a check, credit card swipe. And she says, yeah, you need to get two of them. So you need to get one now, and then you need to come back in 2 to 6 months and get another one. Like, okay. So they, you know how they pull the little thing where they can't see you at the grocery store? So, like, you get in the little, you know, the peep booth? Like, yeah. Get behind there? So I sit down there and roll up my arm. She's, like, being all dramatic. She goes, well, this, you may feel this.
Dang.
It's like, I may feel it. I was like, I never feel shots. She goes, yeah, you may feel this one. And some people do have side effects for, 2 to 5 days after. I'm like, what kind of side effects? Well, your arm may be hard to lift, depends, and you may have flu-like symptoms.
What?
It's like, what is, I'm paying you for this?
Man, she's not setting this up properly.
The whole time she's like, but you don't want shingles. I mean, it was this fun. She was very sassy. I'm like, all right, give me the shot. How bad can the shot be? She gives me the shot, and I'm like, what are you putting in my arm? It felt like she was putting, like, some big, thick gel. You could just feel it going in your arm.
Are you right-handed?
Right-handed. So they did the left.
So you did the left arm,
yeah.
Right?
This was on Tuesday.
Did it hurt?
Yeah, the shot, like at the moment, you could just feel it going in. And it was kind of like, let me tell you, about 12 hours later, you can't even lift your arm.
Like, really?
I felt like someone had jackhammered my arm for like 10 minutes straight. Like where you laid down on the floor and they just jackhammered you. It feels like that. But when you look at your arm, you're expecting it to be purple. But there's nothing. Like, your arm looks normal. And then the next day, flu-like symptoms. Felt like full-on coronavirus. I'm like, what the what is this?
This is terrible.
Yeah, and then she's like, yeah, come back in 2 to 6. I'm like, I'll see you in 6 months. I'm not coming back in 2.
So did she ask if you had the chicken pox? Because isn't that a correlation? Yeah.
She said, I had that as a kid.
I think she asked, like, you have to fill a questionnaire. Anyway, just be prepared. If you're going to get that shot, you're going to be maybe out for a couple of days. Not out like you can't function, but you're going to feel like crap.
Like somebody just kept hitting you nonstop? Not, like boom, boom, boom,
boom.
It's
that and the flu-like. You know how you feel kind of empty inside when you get that flu feeling? Like you just feel like you can't do anything, lethargic
but,
and stuff?
You know, from what I've heard, and you already know, shingles is they say, just absolutely
awful,
painful. And I heard about shingles, and then when David Letterman got it is when it really came to the forefront. David Letterman talked about it. And
like painful rash, right?
Correct. And he wouldn't wish it upon, he said, his worst enemy. And it can get all over your body. It depends. It spreads in different areas. It can be all over your back, your front, and that. And a colonoscopy, I have to have at 50. I have yet to have one of those.
That was no big deal. You'll probably enjoy that.
Well, I heard the worst part of a colonoscopy is the prep before.
Yeah, but it's gotten better. I heard it used to be awful. Now it's like you just drink this stuff and like, you know, you get poop a couple times. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, it's not like...
Cubby, I hope you had a better week than we did. Like, what was your week like?
Hold on, Fram, have you had the shot?
What, the shingles? No, I've never had a shingles shot.
Well, when you're 50, someday, when you eventually get there, you might want to get that.
Shingle. I mean, after your description, like, why would I?
I wonder if it's more guys than girls, though. I know both can get it, but maybe it leans more male demographic.
Both.
Here's the problem with my week this past week. You know, when you do a podcast with two talented people like yourselves, you feel like you should really come with a great story and have something very compelling and just have some fun. I got fucking nothing, man. I had a boring week. Absolutely nothing happened. It was the morning show every morning, baby stuff during the day. I didn't get, you know, hacked. I didn't, like, in past weeks, nothing. I wasn't injured. No shots.
No COVID tests. Like, you know.
No COVID test. I mean, I'm really living a sheltered life, and we really need, like, a good Leslie Queefit story, or you follow the wrong car. This is a week we need one of those stories, Leslie.
It happens to me every week. Well, the fact that I didn't know that Barnes sent me this little director's cut thing.
It's not a director's cut.
What is it called?
What is it called? Is there a name for it?
It's a clapper.
A clapper. Okay.
You got to get
Barnes
a shot for that, too.
A clapper.
It's to sync audio. It's not, a director's cut is a version of a movie.
Right.
I should have known it was from Barnes, too, because there's like no note, no return address,
it
no nothing.
It came from Amazon. What do you mean put? You want to mark it as a gift?
This show has come a long way. When I said this before, when Barnes tried to get me on the podcast, he was like, it's just an hour a week. It's all you need. Now I got like video setups, ring lights, fucking director cut, I book interviews now. I have a mobile office set up outside to book interviews. It's a whole thing is turning into just work. And that's why I don't leave the house. So, that's why I haven't had a COVID test.
Yesterday when I called Barnes, he's like, I haven't heard from you all week.
But Steve, Barnes had flu-like symptoms. That's what kept him down. He had flu-like symptoms. So,
but the damn show still came out Monday at 10.
I will give you props. Barnes does a lot of work editing the show and getting the promos ready.
How about he does all the work?
Yeah, thanks.
You do all the work.
Thanks for pointing that out.
I mean, seriously.
Right. But I'm still doing a tad bit more than you originally said I would.
Well, he reeled you in.
A little bit.
All right, guys, let's get into tropical travel, because that, as you know, is a very big favorite of mine, and spreading the wealth to our listeners is a good thing. You ready to go to St. Lucia?
Oh, you're talking to us?
I'm talking to you. Yeah.
I didn't know we could win. We work for the pop culture show.
I would go to St. Lucia in a heartbeat.
In theory, Cubby, are you ready to send someone to St. Lucia?
I've been to St. Lucia about four times, and it's one of my favorites. Might be number one.
It's Big Island. It's my favorite.
And I've never been, so it should be my first.
And we, during this entire month, just like we did last month with the Four Seasons, this month it's Cap Maison, the legendary Cap Maison in St. Lucia. When you say award-winning, that doesn't even skim the top. They win every single one of them. Condé Nast, Travel Leisure, top hotels in the world. And we have a four-night stay, all-inclusive. I don't know if they can handle Leslie visiting, but all-inclusive. Your meals, your cocktails, the whole shebang. and you get to go for 4 nights. And airfares are at an all-time low right now. So what you have to do is listen to our show. I know that's painful. There are 3 things. Follow us on Instagram at The Pop Culture Show. Follow Cap Mason on Instagram at Cap Mason. And get the code. We have a code in each episode. You have to DM us that code. That's it, to our account on Instagram. So we'll have that code for you in just a couple of minutes. And what we're going to do is at the end of the month, we'll draw a random winner from everyone who has done that. And to make sure this goes well, guys, they asked for a volunteer to go and broadcast from there. And I went ahead and did it because I know you guys have real...
Wait a second.
Come on, man.
You guys have real... You guys have real jobs.
Well, yeah, we do.
That's true. Yeah.
So
are you
just going to go for a day and just kind of check it out for us?
I'm going to go for 10 days. And then I'll...
What?
Flip in 10 days.
You're going for 10 days?
I've got to make sure that the lounge chairs work, that the rum is on point. They've been closed
for... That's Barnes fashion right there. That's only the way Barnes does it.
They've been closed for a few months. They're going to get everything going. I'm going to make sure the water is blue for you when you arrive.
Cubby, this is what we call Barnesology.
No, I'm going to do the show.
Yeah. 10 days.
Listen, people, I do it for you. I do it for you, the people. I wouldn't just send you to St. Lucia, like, not prepared with the rum just right, the chair cushy enough, the bed just not without, like, that beautiful white covering is just ironed and set.
You should be a politician.
We're
going to
get daily photos, Cubby. It's just going to be brutal.
I'm going to do 2 shows.
Barnes by the
Listen,
pool.
I'm going to do 2 shows from there. So I'll do at the end of the month. I'll do one, and then I'll stick around. I'll do another one where we'll draw the winner, and then everybody will be happy. Let's bring the general manager on. Let's go straight to St. Lucia via the miracle of the internets. Ross Stevenson is the GM of Cap Mason. Hello, Ross.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Good morning, I should say.
So you guys are about to reopen, right? Because you're doing just villas right now, but you're about to do the whole thing?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's been almost 7 months since we closed, so we're hyper excited to be reopening on the 10th of October.
How is the island handling this reopening to tourists? And I ask because I'm about to be one. I'm about to be coming through.
I think the island's doing incredibly well. You know, throughout the last 7 months, we had 28 cases. We've got no active cases. We had no deaths. And they're being very sensible in the way they're reopening the island, both from the point of view of the visiting tourists, but also the local St. Lucians. There's an obvious nervousness, but we've been open since July. The island started to get reopening in July. And again, since we reopened to visitors, there've been no cases.
I do have to ask a question for everyone listening. How is Cap Mason positioned opening up for this pandemic? Because I know all of my friends are just so ready to get out of the house and do something different.
It's positioned remarkably well. We're a small boutique resort with only 50 rooms and suites, private pools, space is there. And even pre-COVID, when the hotel was fully occupied, it still felt quiet because everyone has their space. There's villas with rooftop terraces with private pools. There's a beautiful beach. A lot of people go out and do excursions, so it never felt that it was busy. We've never done buffets where everything is a la carte, no queues. So we're ideally suited to come through this and come through this well.
Hey, Ross, for somebody coming to St. Lucia for the very first time, give me 5 things that you think they have to do.
Oh, wow.
Excursions, something. Give me 5 recommendations. You must do this when you're in St. Lucia.
The beauty of St. Lucia, it is an adventure island. My top 5 would be climbing the pitons.
Oh, that's hard.
I'd rather drink the beer.
It's hard. It's hard with a lot of rum, but if you forego the rum for 24 hours, you'll make it. My number 2 is always water-based journeys from the north to the south. It really is the Jurassic Park of the Caribbean. Beautiful mountainous rainforest. The topography changes as you go down south. Friday night street party, famous in the village next to us, Grozzly. A real eclectic mix of locals, tourists, expats. All the bars and all the food stalls run by women. Loud music, whining, goes on to about 2 o'clock in the morning. And for me, I love our little thing called, it's called Eat Like a Local. So Imelda, who's the mother of one of our chefs at Naked Fisherman, you can go to her house. She's got a garden full of produce, and she teaches you how to cook Creole food. And a couple of rums, talk about local culture, local history, but learn to cook Creole food.
It's pretty amazing.
That's kind of cool. I would do that.
And what you find is that the Lucians are just lovely, empathetic, warm, proud people. They want to give the best of the island, and they're just natural followers of hospitality.
We found this place, guys, because it was our honeymoon spot. So 8 years ago, we were just doing the research, and Heather knows how I roll. She wants to be super adventurous, and I want to be on that chair with good internet, which yes. I might say, great internet at Cap Maison if you're going to be working while your other people are out doing stuff. And it was, when you think about a place to go, and I'm not being paid to say this, it is spectacular with the view. They have one of the top chefs in the Caribbean, Chef Craig Jones, who has won like Caribbean Chef of the Year. They have an amazing beach with, it looks like you're on like that first season of Survivor. It's like in a cove, Smuggler's Cove, and there's crystal blue water. You can snorkel like 5 feet off the beach. I think I've been 3 feet off before. I don't go too far in. I'm a land animal. And they have just the service and the people. We have become friends with so many of the people there. I would welcome them into my home any day of the week. Because a lot of people, when they go to islands, they think about safety. I can't tell you how nice these people are. And I can't wait to get back there, Ross. Please don't disclose any barn stories from previous visits. We'll hold those for another day.
Well, at least you're cutting back from a month to 10 days, Steve.
Hey, whoa, everybody.
Actually, Ross, you have a lot of people. I live in the New Jersey area, New Jersey, New York. You have a lot of Northeast people coming down there, don't you?
Yeah, it's our primary market. And what's great for St. Lucia is St. Lucia is one of the 31 countries that you do not require to quarantine going back to New York. That was announced, I think, last week when they were doing some further clampdowns. So, and we're number one island in the Caribbean for its control of COVID, number five in the world, I believe, in terms of how it's responded and how it's reacted to it.
So the resort is opening in full October, what, 10th?
10th, that's right.
And how should people contact you or the resort if they would like more information on booking or whatever?
Yeah, simple. Reservations at capmaison.com.
Or just go to the website, capmaison.com. I want to give the code. We have a code every week. The code this week is a sentimental code, and I'll have Ross talk about this, but the code is 9. Do you know why the code is 9, Ross?
I'm struggling with that. It's your 9th visit, probably.
No, it's about my 29th visit. It is the villa that Mick Jagger stayed in.
Oh, yes. Yes, and Mick Jagger and his son.
I always ask for Villa 9 because I can say, yeah, I stayed where Mick stays.
That's so cool.
And what was that like having Mick Jagger there? Because as you said, this is a super small 50 villa / room / suite place, and it's paradise.
Yeah.
What
I think the cool thing is that he has his own space. He came down to the restaurant with a type of the resort that nobody goes looking for autographs. And certainly solutions themselves aren't starstruck. They're not signature hunters. They just get on with it and just treat people as normal.
They said he would just sit at the bar, which when I say bar, it's like an 8-seat bar, very small, in the restaurant, back in the corner, overlooking the ocean. He would just sit there and drink.
Nobody bothers him.
No.
It's perfect.
Sure.
I heard Mick was actually in Villa 6, and they turned the number upside down.
No, no.
I'll tell you my little Sacha Baron Cohen story. He came to us about Christmas about 5 years ago with his lovely wife and his daughter, Olive, beautiful little girl. So I knew what time he was arriving. So dutifully, I'm standing at the front entrance waiting to greet him. And could I get the yellow mankini out of my head? It just wouldn't go. It's bizarre.
That has to be surreal. But, I mean, you guys are written up in Daily Mail all the time. It's pretty amazing how the celebrity crowd, they can slip in there without being noticed. One time when I was there, Angela Bassett was there.
Oh, yeah.
And
she was great fun.
Talk about someone who is just A-list superstar and cooler than cool.
We took her down to the wine cellar, and we had this very informal little wine gathering with her friends, and we were teaching her how to taste wine, how to aerate the wine, and that was just hilarious.
Well, I saw some of the video from that later. It looks like you tasted a lot of wine.
We did.
Angela Bassett was posting it on her Instagram. It was pretty funny stuff. All right, Ross, we look forward to sending, first of all, a winner to see you, and I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks. So thank you for coming on, and thank you for giving this amazing stay up for one of our listeners to come and enjoy paradise.
You're most welcome, guys.
We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Ross. Thanks, Ross. Hey, he's the GM. Ask for Ross when you get there at Cap Maison in St. Lucia. See you, Ross.
Yep. Bye now.
Another day inside. Don't have to do a thing. I love you, social distancing. No one's around. No one's talking to me. Social distancing, I'm free. Don't have to brush my teeth.
I was never into South Park, but that's pretty funny.
Wow, your funny. Celebrity sleaze opening up with the epic hour-long pandemic special from South Park. By the way, Barnes, it was a huge hit.
I bet. Everyone loves it. I'm waiting for Beavis and Butthead.
They said it was the highest rated episode in 7 years in the history of the show, like 2.3 million people. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of epic, guys, come on. Did you see the opening of Saturday Night Live?
Epic.
Recreating the presidential debate. And of course, we are seeing Jim Carrey play Joe Biden. And as always, Alec Baldwin playing President Trump.
Jim Carrey's got some hair. I don't know how they hit it because he looked exactly like Biden.
And the mannerisms were spot on. Cubby, did you see it?
Oh my gosh. He brings out the tape measure to make sure the podiums are 6 feet apart. it was well done. Although to me, watching the actual debate on last Tuesday was like watching an SNL skit.
It really
like
was.
How can they top what really happened? But it was funny.
And you know, he nails the Trump too. Baldwin.
Oh, perfect. Just
he always does.
Nails it. And I haven't watched SNL in years. I actually had it set last night to record and jump to it. Here's a quick clip. This is edited to take out some of the visual stuff that you can't see. Like Cubby mentioned, they're measuring the desk and stuff. And this went on for 13 minutes. But here's just a listen to their voices and listen to Jim Carrey just nail it.
We begin with the Supreme Court. President Trump, 2 minutes.
I'm going to do 10. I'd like to begin with a list of complaints. People are mean to me. Joe here is very mean. Chris Wallace is mean. The economy is mean. It keeps losing jobs, which is mean to me. The China virus has been very mean to me by being a hoax, and that statement will not come back to haunt me later this week.
Mr. Vice President, same question. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Chris. Now, look, here's the deal.
No, it's not.
Mr. President, please let him speak. He let you speak, now let him speak.
But he's lying. I can't point out if he says a lie.
I said two words, you son of a no. Don't do it, Joe.
Just nailed it.
And then, you know, when Maya Rudolph comes out and plays Kamala Harris, that was excellent, too. Watch the whole thing if you can. It was really funny. So guess who broke the internet this week, guys?
You. You, Leslie.
It was a photo. It was a photo. It was a cover of a magazine.
Chrissy Teigen.
No.
No. I don't know.
It was a cover of a magazine. Washboard abs. A men's magazine.
Guy.
Men's health. Lenny Kravitz at 56 years old.
Yes.
I don't know if you read the article, but apparently, you know, he has a place in Paris, but during COVID, he's been staying in the Bahamas in his Airstream trailer, and he goes through his workout routine. He apparently like grows vegetables and, you know, it's a very inspiring article. But when you see how unbelievable he looks, people were freaking out all week.
You know what he probably did? He probably had his shingle shot.
He did.
See, he's keeping it together.
And, you know, he's talking about how he's like best friends with and really good friends with his ex, Lisa Bonet's husband, Jason Momoa.
Yeah, he says they're real tight. He goes, we're all one, and they're all friends.
But that's
and
him.
He said, let love rule. He goes, I wrote a song called Let Love Rule, so let love rule.
That's total Lenny vibe.
It's total Lenny Kravitz vibe. Really sad news that Chrissy Teigen and John Legend lost their baby, and there was some controversy on the internet. People were saying, why would you share the photos of them in the hospital, you know, obviously distraught. And other people were saying, hey, it's kind of healing, especially if you've been through losing a child. And then there were all these trolls on the internet saying that it was a hoax and it never really happened. And I don't know why people love to hate Chrissy Teigen, but I actually really like her.
They love to hate everyone. It's not just, she's just at the moment, the target. There was a local newscaster here. The entire story that did that story was saying Chrissy Teigen.
How could you get that wrong?
No way.
How out of touch are you?
Oh my gosh, that's embarrassing.
How do you not know Chrissy Teigen?
I know. She's obviously she's a Twitter queen too. People love to follow her on Twitter.
Polarizing for sure.
Bad boy Shia LaBeouf charged with battery and theft. I'm not really sure what happened here. Apparently he had an argument with some guy and the guy decided to file a police report. I mean, which happens over and over again if you're an actor, but.
Or if you're Shia.
Or that's what I was going to say. If it's him, maybe there's a little bit of truth there. Did you happen to see the cool thing that Chadwick Boseman did for Sienna Miller in the movie that they did together?
I heard.
21 Bridges.
Paycheck.
Yeah, I heard what he did. He was such a great guy.
Yeah, gave part of his salary to her so that she would be compensated properly. It's pretty amazing.
Something we probably wouldn't have found out about, probably. But I'm glad the story. This is probably one of the stories he would not want people to know about because he likes to just be. He wanted to be under the radar about it. But I'm glad we found out about it because it shows us what a good heart he had.
I'm glad you brought this up because I'd like to ask you both to do the same with me.
Now,
since you have real, you have a job.
We do have jobs.
I only have a company. You have a job.
Yeah.
You have guaranteed income. I'd like you
we
to
should be
it.
Throwing him some money for producing this show, Cubby. What do you think?
I'll give you my Venmo.
Are you gonna? We should get a contract for the show, actually. We should have some paperwork for the show.
By the way, with all the reports about you can't look Ellen in the eye, I don't know if you saw the Jessica Alba story, but when she was a guest on Beverly Hills 90210, apparently she said you couldn't look anybody in the eye. That's what they told her. Producers threatened to throw her off the show if she dared look anybody in the eye. Can you imagine? Don't look Jenny Garth or Jason Priestley in the eye.
You hear this story attached to so many celebrities.
I know. A lot of times it's not true, but some people, though, when you hear about them, you think, okay, it's true for them.
You want it to, if you want it to be true.
Right. You're like, I can see that. I can see that with them.
That would be in Cubby's contract he speaks of that he wants for the pop culture show. Barnes
right,
can only
exactly.
call me once a week.
Barnes, I don't know if you remember back in the day, but Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders, we were told not to look in her eye when she came into the studio.
I don't remember ever getting that.
Yeah, I got that once with her.
Are there celebrities that you look at that you've never met and you think they probably stink? Like they probably smell?
No,
I often wonder that.
You can confirm. Some of them actually did.
No, I know. Yeah, like Sting is a great guy, but the one time I met Sting, he had a little bit of smell, like he was sweating a little bit.
I've hugged him several times and he does not stink.
Maybe I got him on a bad day.
He seems like a patchouli guy.
No, I just don't remember any sort of scent, but...
Do you remember anybody that stinks?
I don't.
That now that you ask me, I'm going to struggle with it, but it'll come to me. There are some. I don't remember who.
I remember John Mellencamp smelled like cigarettes when I took a picture with him. You do the whole arm around thing. Yeah.
Some musicians smell like ass a little bit, like they haven't showered in a few days. Like sometimes musicians, but that's part of the shtick.
Yeah, like a wet towel that's been on the floor for a couple of days. Yeah.
I love bringing up Kylie Jenner and how much money she has because she bought her two-year-old she bought her two-year-old daughter, Stormy, a backpack. But not just any backpack. It was $12,000.
Damn. They have so much money.
I mean, you could feed starving children around the world with that. Come on.
Why was it 12 grand? Was it like a Gucci or something?
Yeah, it was an Hermes or a Gucci or something like that. It's crazy. You mentioned this a couple of seconds ago, Cubby, about not signing any paperwork. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Kelly Clarkson is going through kind of a nasty divorce from her husband, who was her manager, and management now is saying, you owe us $1 million in unpaid. Yes. And so I don't know what's going to happen because nothing was signed, but ouch.
Yeah, that's finna get ugly.
It is going to get ugly. And Barnes, I had to bring this up because this is your show, Love Island.
Oh, there was some drama. We had bad timing. It happened right after we had the narrator on last week, Matthew Hoffman.
Noah Purvis, I guess, has a past, and TMZ reported that maybe he was into porn before.
Yeah.
Dude.
So on the show, I know you two don't watch. On the show, it's over now. The finale was this week. This guy, Noah Purvis, shows up, and he's your typical 20-something, ripped abs, the whole thing. And he's doing his thing, working the ladies. The whole idea is to hook up on that show. And then they come back from a commercial break, and he's gone. Like, there's 7 people now instead of 8. No one says anything. No one makes note of it.
What?
The dude's
just like, he's disappeared.
Let this be a lesson. That's what gay porn will do to you, or porn in general. This guy had done gay porn, didn't tell producers. His whole idea was that he would do gay porn to get noticed. How many times have you heard that story in Hollywood?
He said it was mostly for money, but to get noticed.
Let's hear it out of his mouth. Here's a 1 minute, less than a minute clip.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Let's not see it out of his mouth. Here is that guy talking about it. His name is Noah.
They're like, well, you went by another alias with some nude pictures and videos, it seems like. And as soon as they said that, I knew exactly what had happened in my brain. They had told me that, you know, since you were in these videos online, we're not going to be able to have you on the show anymore. To make sense of this in a way, I had forgotten about these things in my life. I had done these videos for this company, and there was pictures taken as well, but I had forgotten about it, and I just thought it was nothing that was ever going to come up ever again. It was done out of pure wanting money in the moment and thinking that I was going to be able to put myself out there for producers to see me and put me in the movies and stuff like that. I love being in front of the camera, so I'll go on a TV show. I'll go on a movie, TV series. Yeah. Anywhere the camera's at, I'll be there.
Not anymore, you won't.
Wow.
Not anymore. Done. Good job, Beavis. You know, I mean, why do people do... Porn is not the way into Hollywood.
No.
He's lying his ass off. You forgot?
Tell me about Love Island, how it all ended, because we don't watch it. Like, was there a winner?
Well, what happens is they get down to two couples, and then they get down and they pick a couple, and the couple wins, and then they have $100,000 between the couple. So they say, here's one envelope has zero, and one has $100,000, and they each pick one, and they open it. And so say, Cubby, you got the one that says $100,000, and the girl got the zero. You then decide, do you give her half, or do you just take the money and running? So they've had, I think on that show, they've had the first season where someone took the money and they were like,
well, I think the real winners in this show are me and Leslie not having to hear about this anymore. I'm glad it's over. Man,
come on. You still got Big Brother going though.
So glad Barnes is here to watch all these shows for us.
That was number one on CBS, people. It wasn't just me.
I know. I can't
for
take
multiple,
it.
Multiple nights. It was good. So some new music I wanted to touch on this week. These are a couple of iconic ones in different ways. Don't know if you heard, but these guys are back together. I'm not going to tell you who these guys are. Just listen to it. You'll know in the first 3 seconds. Wait for it. I mean, classic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the teaser that they put out. AC/DC with the whole lineup back together. I thought they were done.
I did too. I thought Brian Johnson was like done.
Brian Johnson, Angus Young, Stevie Young, Cliff Williams, and Phil Rudd. That's crazy. That sounds
crazy.
It really
does sound like classic AC/DC.
Classic AC/DC. Yeah.
So I'm not disappointed in that.
It's going to be amazing, and I cannot wait. It's been since, I think, 2014. Since they had, but man, not sounding like that. So there.
What was your favorite AC/DC song? If you had to pick one,
man.
I know what you're gonna pick, but
I mean, Highway to Hell, Thunderstruck, Back in Black,
Money Talks is pretty good too.
They have so many. I think I may have to Spotify and pull up Greatest Hits when this is all over, because it just that gets you just charged, unlike no other. Okay, the second one. This is unbelievable. Listen to this clip, and I want you to tell me who it is. Wait for the hook. This is a very unnecessary song. Can you tell me who it is?
I have no clue.
It's not Kermit the Frog.
No, it's like...
Who is it?
When were they at their peak? At what decade?
Now.
Really?
But with a different job.
What?
It's an actor.
Oh.
This is his first song. This was the most unnecessary EDM track in the history of music.
Tell me who it is.
It's Vin Diesel.
Why would he do that?
I've got to read you some of these. He put this out on his official YouTube.
Ooh.
These comments are unbelievable. This sounds like the background music in a Netflix teen movie. I feel like this is a song that you would hear after Disney credits are rolling, but not like the first song, like the second one.
Ouch.
See, here's one in Spanish. Hold on. The people are just ripping them. Shouldn't this guy be driving cars off of planes and not singing? This is going to be played at H&M soon. This isn't terrible, and I never thought I'd say this, but I want to see him make more. This is honestly a vibe. Wow, you got some positive.
Ooh, a vibe.
Why does this sound like one of those songs that the foreign DIY pages use for background music?
You won't hear that song in any Fast and Furious soundtrack.
No.
Go and find. He went from Vin Diesel to Vin Electric Car Charging Station. It's actually sounds like a ringtone for smartphones. You need to go. Oh, here's, the internet is a wonderful place, isn't it? Just go and search this on YouTube and read the comments. You'll be reading them for hours. I mean, it's just. He's that bored.
But I wonder if they're hating on it. Are they hating on it because they know who it is? Because sometimes
you
have to do that.
You know how people are, especially on Twitter. And,
but it sounds kind of cheesy. Listen to him. I think it
because we
like,
know who it is, it does. But if you didn't tell me that, I actually wouldn't mind it. I like that loungy kind of music, believe it or not.
It sounds like Vin Diesel. Now that you know it's him, can't you picture him?
Look. It does sound like him now that you know it's him.
Well, do you remember when Paris Hilton put out Stars Are Blind? People were like, this is actually not that bad. And the record company didn't tell me who it was when they played it for me. And we were all saying, is this like Gwen Stefani? We actually thought it was like a Gwen Stefani song. And then when they said it was Paris Hilton, we were like, our jaws dropped.
I mean, historically, though, when actors have bands, they're really not that good. Except for, I will say there's one exception. Jared Leto, 30 Seconds to Mars.
I like Jared Leto. A lot of people trash him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what, Barnes? I'll do a little research because Jeremy Renner put something out this week, too. So I'll bring it in next week.
I feel like he's done that before.
Yeah, he's been doing stuff on the side. He has.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
Oh, yeah. 30 years after Will Smith looked at his kingdom and sat on his throne as the fresh Prince of Bel-Air, he's giving fans the chance to book the famous mansion on Airbnb. Have you heard about this, guys?
Wow. You're booking the entire mansion?
Yes. Big Willie and Airbnb, they've hooked up. They're teaming up to rent out a portion of the famous Brooklyn mansion that was used as the exterior for the hit NBC sitcom during six incredible seasons back in the 90s. Now, here's what the mansion offers, and Barnes, you're going to love this. Access to what would have been Will's bedroom and bathroom on the show, along with a poolside lounge area, a ritzy dining room. You'll be greeted by bold graffiti art, posh interiors, family portraits, and Philly cheesesteaks served on silver platters. I mean, total luxury. And fans will have the chance to lace up with a fresh pair of Air Jordans and shoot baskets in the bedroom. There's also turntables if anyone's down for hanging out with DJ Jazzy Jeff. And you can also rummage through Will's closet and throw on a preppy outfit from Bel Air Academy.
What is the
or
point?
Or get sweaty in Bel Air athletics gear.
What is the point?
I mean, all
of
kinds
this?
Of stuff.
It's the reboot. Remember, they're going to reboot Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Oh, so he's setting this up. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a promo.
Correct. But can I tell you why I hate this story? Because it sounds so cool, right? And people are listening going, this is awesome. I want to try this.
Yeah.
Well, these bookings are overnight stays and only 5 dates are available. And if you're outside the LA County area, you're out of luck because it's only open to people in the LA County area. So, you know, why?
That's not fair.
Why even do this story?
That got so much press and you're telling me there's only 5 days available?
Right. And you have to live in LA, basically. But if you are a lucky person that gets in there, they clean it after every person leaves, and everything goes down according to CDC guidelines to minimize COVID risk. So there you go. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, The house is up for yours if you can get in.
That's stupid. Thanks, Cubby. Our next guest, you may think you don't know him. His name is Larry Davis, but trust me, you know him. He is the voice of just about every major network on television. He is the king of voiceover and a really cool dude. Hey, Larry.
Hey, I didn't know. Wow, I'm a cool dude. Thank you for that. I don't know if I'm the voice of every network, but I've got a couple of them under my...
Well, let me tell you a funny story about you being on the show this week. Someone said, hey, who's on the show this week? Who's the guest? I said, Larry Davis. Oh, my God, I love him. And they were going on and on. And they're like, when's the new season coming back? I was like, what do you mean? They're like,
oh, they thought I was the co-creator of Seinfeld.
They thought you were Larry David. I'm like,
oh, yeah, that happens sometimes.
I would love to, for the record, have Larry David on, but I'm glad we have Larry Davis on today.
Do you have a favorite voice that you do?
Yeah, my favorite right now that I've been working on is like the Sam Elliott style character. Do you know who he is, Sam Elliott?
I love Sam Elliott, yes.
Sam Elliott is a guy that sort of sounds like this, and he does a lot of beer commercials and truck commercials and things like that. And, of course, he was in the Big Lebowski. He played the cowboy in the Big Lebowski.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's got that kind of like deep voice. And the way I do his voice is, you know, I take my voice deeper like that. And then I add a little bit of that kind of S sound. He's got that kind of, that sort of Hollywood caps sort of kind of sound, like he's had some work done on his teeth. I almost said dentures, but like some on his on his teeth. And then he's got that real rugged sort of sound. He barely opens his mouth when he talks. So a lot of times he'll say things like, people who come into this bar are looking for something ice cold to drink when they're watching the games. You know, that kind of thing. Stuck in their ways. Sound like anybody you know?
Do you study these guys and come up with what you call it? You just described it perfectly, I thought. Like you're holding dentures up in your mouth. I mean, like when you piece together a character.
Yeah. You know, I'm one of those people who, when I'm, whatever voice I'm doing, I kind of like, I don't even know how to say it without sounding funny. I kind of like try to become them when I'm behind the mic for that moment. For the moment that I'm doing that particular character, I'm not me anymore. I become whatever it is, even if it's just a straight announcer gig, you know, because I normally don't go around saying, you know, the Giants take on the Cowboys next on Fox. You don't hear me talking like that, you know, like when I order food, let me get the scrambled eggs with American cheese and two slices of extra crispy bacon. You know, you never hear me talking like that. But like, so whatever role that I'm playing, and it is acting, of course, it's just you're doing it with your voice as opposed to like being in front of the camera. So I try to become that character no matter who it is. Even if I'm doing like a lot of people want me to do my Morgan Freeman type sound. And so when I'm doing that sound, I kind of become him, you know, like in that moment. I remember the very first time I saw Paul Cubby Bryan. There he was in his radio studio doing all he could to entertain America.
Amazing.
Amazing. I mean,
if Morgan Freeman was sick one day, they could totally bring you in and nobody would know the difference.
Exactly. Larry, when did you realize you could do all these voices and have all these ranges? Because, you know, I met you in the early 90s, about the time I met Leslie and Barnes, and we're doing radio. You're a radio guy. When did you discover, wow, you know, there's more to my voice and I could probably make a lot of money doing voiceovers?
I was always a guy in radio my whole life. And, you know, I started when I was a kid like you, Cubby. I was 15 the very first time I cracked the mic, and then I never quit. You know, out of high school, I didn't, you know, traditionally go to a college or anything like that. I knew that I was meant to be on the radio having fun playing music because I love music. So that drew me to radio, and then radio drew me to the production studio, because every radio station in the country has a what's called a production studio, where you go in and you make local commercials, or you do sound effects for the morning show, or you do funny things for your own show, that kind of thing. And so I was always the guy in there all the time creating. Salespeople would want me to do like club spots. Thursday night, it's the big party night for the ladies. Come on in for all drinks are half off for the ladies Thursday night. You know, that kind of thing, like club commercials, car commercials, and even everyday regular kind of sounds. It wasn't always like a deep voice. And I just got into it, and I realized really early, like in the early part of the 90s, that, wow, radio is great. And I love radio, but I was able to make more money by providing, you know, agency sounding commercials for, You know, first it started out locally, and then it became like four states wanted to use me on their car dealerships. And then finally, I started getting the national spots, and I said, maybe it's time to do this full time. And that's when I broke away from radio, full time radio, and started doing the voiceover thing.
When you get these different things and your range is so wide, like for, I'm gonna say a couple of things and you just give me one of those. Like if I'm auditioning you right now, like give me a comedy on ABC.
The all new funny show next on ABC. It's a really funny show and it starts next on ABC. On ABC.
Okay. NASCAR on Fox.
Race cars driving around the track. It's NASCAR, and it's next on Fox.
Gosh.
Now do Morgan Freeman holding up a bank.
I've got my mask on, and I was wondering, would there be anyone here who could talk to me about give me all your money? Just
kidding. How about, do you do any female voices?
Leslie.
There's only one that I do. And do you remember the TV show back in the 70s called Good Times?
Of course.
Good Times, of course.
Yeah, and the mom character, her name, she was Florida, and I think her name is Esther Roll, and she passed away several years ago. But I can kind of do that. I mean, that's the only female. You want me to try it?
Can you do a little, Florida Evans?
So here's a little Florida, if I can get into it. Let's see.
JJ and Michael never complain, so why do you, James? And why are you always unemployed on every episode? Maybe this time you'll find a job. Then again, maybe you won't. Where's Wilona?
That's amazing to me. I'm just so jealous.
So what's a typical day? You wake up and you just get some emails that say, here's what we need for ESPN. Here's what we need for the new Big Sky show on ABC. Here's what you just get these every day?
I get them every day. And the way it works is you have to, you know, in this world, nothing comes for free. You do have to work for it. I have to audition for everything that I get. It's not like Larry is the guy forever, you know, like, cause there's a lot of people that do this kind of work, but I work really hard to stay, you know, one of the ones that they call a lot. Let's put it that way, by kind of staying sharp, coming up with new characters, new sounds, that kind of thing.
Any other favorite actors that you do impressions of?
Well, I'm not really an impressionist so much, but I can kind of sound like the very great Barry White, the singer, you know, like with his deep kind of sound, or at least like it'll make you think about him. It might not be dead on, you know, but so I can kind of sound like Morgan Freeman. I can kind of sound like Sam Elliott, and I can kind of sound like Barry White.
Oh, yeah, baby. What's going on, baby? This Valentine's. Shouldn't you get something you really deserve? You know, that kind of thing. But
that's awesome.
You know, a lot of times, that doesn't really come up very often anymore, but the Morgan Freeman thing and the Sam Elliott thing, and then characters that I create come up all the time, you know?
Larry, I want to tell Fram, Leslie, but every now and then we call her Fram. I want to tell Leslie and Barnes this great radio story because they're going to appreciate this because you'll remember these days, Leslie and Barnes. Do you remember when record labels wanted to get your attention? They would send a CD and they would probably have something tied in with the name of the band to get your attention. Like, for example, there was a group called Sisters of Mercy. I don't know if you remember them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember them.
But they sent a bunch of radio stations a copy of the new album and a little like nun addressed, like it was a small puppet nun. You know those little fighter things you put your hand in and you just hit the button it's like a boxer, yeah. Like jabs. Well, this was a nun that jabs. And the record guy came in like a week after we got this promotional thing, and me and Larry were talking to him, and we were like, how'd you get the idea to do, you know, the nuns and the CD? I mean, we knew what it meant with Sister of Mercy and all that, but like, how much did it cost you? And he goes, oh man, let me tell you something. He goes, I came up with the idea. I was kind of drunk and I walked into a magic store and, and I saw this nun and I said, this would be perfect to go out with the new album. And I ordered 500 of them right there on the spot. And I sent them to 500 radio stations. So Larry is like, let me get this straight. You're a record exec. You're hammered at a magic store and you come up with this idea. How did it go? And then Larry acted out how he thinks the transaction went. So this is the record company exec going into the magic store.
We don't remember. I don't even remember who it was, but whoever it was kind of had a Southern accent. It was a Texas based record rep for one of the major labels. It might've been, I can't remember, but he was like a, you know, a very well-known guy. And but I can't remember his name now. Isn't that funny? But like he was one of the main ones, and he had kind of a Southern accent, like a Texas sort of accent. And I just imagined him being in that magic store.
Let me get two tubes of the disappearing ink. Some of that stuff you put between your index finger and your thumb that makes it look like your fingers are smoking. Do y'all have any of that? Yeah, let me get two bottles of that. Some of those rings that you can pull apart, one of those ring tricks. And hell, let me get 400 of those nuns up there.
I don't know why that cracks me up. Ordered that's how nuns. It went down. Yeah,
it's like a funny thing to us.
You know, Larry, I've got to imagine when you're watching TV, you're the guy that actually watches and pays attention to the commercials.
Yeah, ever since I've been a kid, that was my thing. I wanted to emulate whatever I heard. So if I heard one of those old-timey kind of like, you know, as a kid, you'd always hear those real deep concert commercials. Remember those? Like,
yes.
Thursday night, the Scorpions are in town for the summer sting. And I would, you know, walk around the house doing that. And my mom would be like, man, you sound just like that guy on the radio. Or, you know, then you hear another commercial and it was like, you know, like a more friendly sound than that, you know, and I would just try to emulate everything I heard, cowboy characters and, mm-hmm. you know, gangster characters and New Yorkers. And
hey, get over here, Paulie. There's something I really been meaning to talk to you about. You can't wait. You got to get over here.
You know, that kind of thing. Just doing whatever I heard. You know, they call it I found out now that it's called being a mimic. You know, yes. I didn't know what it was when I was a kid. I was just like, I can sound like that. Or the Crypt Keeper would come on and I'd be running around the house, you know.
Hello, kiddies. Hope you're having a nice Halloween. Hope you don't lose your head over all the excitement.
You know, so like, my mom would be like,
incredible.
My mom said, all right, I'm going to get you into acting class and I'm going to get you into, there was a little advertising agency in Houston where I grew up called Applejack Productions. And I don't remember how old I was, but I know I was like, I wasn't 10 yet. And she took me in, they took me. And within a few weeks of being with this talent agency, they asked me, hey, Larry, would you like to teach other kids what you know? And I was kind of like, what do I know? You know, I guess they saw something, you know, me kidding around and everything. They saw something and they wanted me to teach other kids. So they gave me $50 every Wednesday night. I remember getting those checks. So that was $200 a month for a kid. So wow. I was able to teach other kids what I knew. And I remember not knowing what I was talking about. So I would just make it up in front of the other kids. There'd be about 10 other kids in the room. And I would just like, well, you're on. All right, today we're going to talk about really becoming the character. I didn't even know what I was talking about. I would just ramble for an hour, you know, and like do my best to try to really explain what it was that I quote unquote did, you know, and they gave me $50 a week.
Well, wow. One last question. Have you ever done a commercial, Larry, just with your regular voice? No affectation whatsoever.
Good
Absolutely.
Question.
Like, remember the Quilted Northern commercials where there would be like a little bunny or, you know, like some other figurine on top near the toilet. And that was the whole bit. Like,
yeah.
They were in there watching people go to the restroom. Remember those?
I remember those. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so that was just my regular voice, you know, like, smash me. Dear God, smash me into oblivion. Little Miss Puffytail thinks every time someone walks into this restroom, you know, because the figurine's tired of watching people go in there, you know. And so the figurine is hoping that someone will knock her down and smash her.
Right.
You know, that was just my regular voice. Like, Quilted Northern, designed to be forgotten. You know, just there was nothing put on about that. There was no voice. There was no character.
I promise we'll let you go. But Leslie, I want you to hear him do Rick Dees.
Because
I know this is an inside radio thing. Rick Dees, legendary morning guy.
Let's see if I can pull it out. It might not sound exactly like him. Like somehow, as I've gotten a couple of years older, it might not sound exactly like him. But like back in the day, like in the 90s or whatever, I was like dead on. Let's see if I can pull it off.
Real quick, I had him call a friend of mine. And I said, I have Rick Dees. He wants to say hi to you. And my friend was shaking, thinking it was really Rick Dees. And go ahead.
This is Rick Dees with nothing but the hits. Number 17 this week, Madonna. Now, remember, as you're tooling around Southern California this weekend, I'll make more money than you and your entire family put together. This is Rick Dees. Keep it here for the hits.
Yeah, Rick has that little laugh going on while he talks.
Laugh, yeah.
I'm proud of you, man. You know, we're doing radio still and doing the voiceover career and killing it. And people can hear you out in L.A., right, on K-Earth?
Yeah, I do a show on Friday nights called Totally 80s Friday Night, where we, you know, crank out big 80s hits every Friday night. And I start at 7 and I go till midnight every Friday.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
That's Larry, great.
Larry Davis, the king of voiceovers. Thanks for coming on with us, Larry.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, everybody, please rate, review, and subscribe to The Pop Culture Show. Was that close? Not really. Have a great week.
The Pop Culture Show.
We'll see
Leslie, you. Barnes, and Cubby, rocking America on The Pop Culture Show.
That'll be $5,000.
Yeah.
Cut.